Come on, Jesus recognized Satan's offer, even though the words of his trusted friend Peter would not submit to him, or to their tears or to their anxiety. He knew he was on a mission, and he acknowledged to him that I must be about the things of God and not the things of men. That is our biggest struggle, because sometimes we can be so personalized that we hurt and we mourn and we do those things in the natural. But spiritually, what's happening and what is at work in our lives? Are we becoming a distraction? Are we becoming a hindrance to others because we have become too mushy and less spiritual? And we become so well-being concerned that we're not spiritually balanced. Well, this happens in our natural because we are human nature. Just touch yourself. People cry. People hurt. People deal with anxieties. People have certain fears. We deal with all of those things. But the reality is there has to be a divide in our spirit so that we know what is the things of God and what is the things of men. We got to know the difference. Because when we don't, we can find ourselves at enmity with God. When God said, go through it, and you said, oh no, we ain't going to let them go through it. That ain't going to happen to them. Well, look what happened to Jonah. Jonah was wrong as two left shoes and mismatched socks too. He was wrong. God said, go to Nineveh and preach. He said, I ain't going. And sometimes we are rebellious like that. I ain't doing it. And God said, no, you're not going to do me like that. You ain't going to do me like that. You can talk to them, but I said, go to Nineveh and preach. He wouldn't go. The Bible says he jumped on a ship and said he was going to Tarshish because he wasn't going to do what God said do. And many times in our life, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves trying to get on the next ship to the next place and not do what God said do. And we've been called to this. Even though you don't like it, even though you're not even expecting to get called for this, or you didn't think this was your number, but this is your number, and this is your time. Come on, deal with your prejudices, deal with your feelings, deal with everything, but go preach to Nineveh. Because that's all God said. Deal with what you got to deal with. Deal with your quirks, deal with your funkiness, deal with all you got to deal with, but do what I said. Come on, that's sometimes our biggest challenge. We still got to deal with all this stuff and still do what God said. But of course, Jonah didn't do that. He's a classic example for us. He's going to do his thing. So he jumps on the ship. And I love this illustration that God shows us, is that they all on the ship, and God said, wait a minute. I told you to do this, and you do that. And the storm what? The storm comes. Come on. So sometimes when we're dealing with people and we're dealing with storms in their life, I don't look around to see what they did. I want to see what is God doing. See, sometimes that's not what we do. We look and see, well, they crying. They hurt. You see what they did? What's God doing in this? Because if we don't take time to see what God is doing in this, we'll do what the people on the ship did with Jonah. Oh, they made a determination. We going what? We're going to save this boy. We don't even know him. Don't know who, where he came from. But we ain't going to let him die. And sometimes that's what we get. Well, we are the Savior. And we become baby Jesus. And we're going to make it happen. And really what we're doing is we're battling against what? God not even in this. This is you. This is how you feel. You don't want to hurt. You don't want to deal with this. And he rebellious on the ship. And they don't even know it. And sometimes we dealing with people, they rebellious as I don't know what. And we don't even know it.
And we keep trying to pay their rent. We keep trying to help them out. We keep trying to make sure they good. They got gas. We keep trying to work with them. And really, they just battling against God. And you can do everything you want, however you want. It's still not going to work. Come on, I love the illustration because they said they on the ship rowing harder. Just trying to save this man. And then the scripture says they threw everything out. I'm talking about food. I'm talking about precious goods. I'm talking about they threw it overboard to save this man. And sometimes that's what we get. We're going to save you. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to bail you out. We're going to do it. And never take time to say, is this God? They gave up everything. And they kept rowing. And the storm never stopped. Come on, that's a lesson right there. Sometimes we can do all we can, all we want to do, and the storm still never stops. We think we're doing the right thing. We think we're doing the God thing. And the storm still never stopped. Because this didn't have nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with Jonah. And sometimes the storms in our lives and the things we go through and the people around us that cause storms in our life don't have nothing to do with you. You just caught up in it. You just caught up in the storm. And you're trying to do everything you can to maintain. Because that was their fear. We all going to die. And it wasn't until God intervened and told Jonah, you got to make this right. And Jonah had to beg them. How many people begging you to stop helping them? I don't know none. You know any? I don't know any. Most people, when they're wrong, they ain't ask you to stop helping. They keep asking you to row harder. Do more. And if you don't do enough, you ain't did enough. But Jonah came to his mind long enough and said, you know what? Throw me overboard. And I can tell you, church, that is the hardest thing to do. Because of our humanity and our loyalty to the flesh. That is the hardest thing to do, to see anybody struggle or to see anybody destitute or hurting. It is not in us. God did not even create us like that. So for them to have to throw them overboard was an act of God. I mean, God had to show up and say, throw them overboard. I can imagine nobody wanted that job. Nobody wanted that job. But guess what? It had to be done. It had to be done. Because if it didn't get done, guess what? They weren't going to make it. So they did what? They threw them over. And then guess what happened? Oh, y'all know what happened. The storm stopped. The storm stopped. Jonah was a distraction to their peace, to their well-being, to their future thoughts, to their hopes, their dreams. He was a distraction, all of that. We're going to lose it. But when they threw him overboard, the scripture says the storm ceased. But sometimes that is the hardest thing to do, is to throw them what? Overboard. We keep trying to rescue. We keep trying to row harder. But the reality is, we have to be careful so that we're not so mindful of the things of men and not about the things of God. Come on, God shows us. He shows us all through the Word of God. You find it everywhere. He's just trying to strengthen us so that the strength remains in us. Because sometimes the difficulties and the distractions that we deal with, they deplete us to so much that we don't want to do nothing. I don't want to go nowhere. Don't want to deal with nothing. Don't want to talk to nobody. This is it. And all God's just trying to do is get our attention and say, you know what? This is not the end. This is just the beginning. Just the beginning. So sometimes in our life, we just got to throw some stuff over. We just got to throw it overboard. I know nobody's signing up for that, and I know nobody want to do that. But sometimes you have to do that so that the storm can stop. The storm gonna keep raging as long as you keep rowing harder. And nobody can justify it for you. You have to justify it for yourself. You have to justify it for yourself. Come on, there's three instances I can see where Jesus could have been distracted, but he overcame and he did not let himself be derailed. Come on, in the garden, come on, in the desert, and in the wilderness, he did not let himself get distracted. And sometimes in those places in our life, in the garden, in the desert, in the wilderness, we get what? Distracted. Come on, some of y'all get to thinking about money. You keep thinking about long life. You keep thinking about the things that have nothing to do with God. Them human things. Them human things. Things that have to do with God is the things that are precious that we can't buy. You can't buy. You can't send it around. This is something God does in you. Amen? Come on, Jesus had to overcome these instances. And how did he do it? What can we learn from Jesus so that we can stay focused and not be distracted by anything? Somebody say anything. From accomplishing God's purpose. Because it's not always the negative stuff that's a distraction. Sometimes it's the new job. Ain't nobody get a new job lately, okay. Come on, maybe it's the new car. Or the new house. Or the new girlfriend. Or the new boyfriend. I'm sorry, all the ladies here. They distractions. Come on, somebody say, it's good, it's good. But really all it was a distraction. That's all it was. Come on, Samson was called to great things and to do good things for God. But he had a what? And sometimes in our life, it might seem good, but all it is a distraction to keep you from fulfilling God's will. Come on, look at it for what you want. Well, you got the new job, but we ain't seen you in church. You got the new car, but we ain't seen you. You can't get a ride from nobody. Come on, where are we at? Where we are when things have us and we don't have the things? That we have truly gotten what? Distracted. Boy, we were faithful in a lot of things until this came along. And you call it a blessing and you testified and you got six figures now, but we don't know where you are. Because now you're working and you try to make ends meet and all of that. And money is a great servant, but it is a hard master. When all you're doing is trying to make sure you get some of it, and it never works for you. Come on, we got to make sure, church, that we are not distracted, even by good things. Come on, the key is, and these are the points here, and I know I got 2 minutes, but I'm going to give them to you. Number one, prepare yourself for them. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? How do I know when they can happen? They're going to happen. Distractions are going to occur in areas of our life. The key is to be strong enough and resilient enough to know that they happen. You get a flat tire. You get in a car accident. You in a fender bender. Have you lost it? Can we recover who you are the next month? Come on. What will it take and how will it take? The way to deal with that is prepare yourself now. Prepare yourself now to know stuff. Didn't know that was going to happen. Didn't know she was going to say that to me. Didn't know he was going to do that. Didn't know that was going to happen. But I'm prepared for that. Come on, we got to prepare ourselves. And how do we do that? We build ourselves up in our own faith so that we're not so distracted by the things of men. Somebody said something about your dress, or somebody said something about your hair, or somebody said something about your makeup. Somebody said, and now we can't even get you in the service. We can't even talk to you. Because you've gotten what? Offended. You offended. It had nothing to do with the word that God was giving you. It had nothing to do with how God was using you. But because you can't forget that somebody said you got on the wrong color lipstick with that shade of dress, then you all messed up. Y'all laugh, but I'm going to tell you. It don't even take all that. It don't even take all of that. They sitting in my seat. Do you know they sitting in my seat? Is that your seat? I didn't know. I'll make sure they don't do it again. Whispering like that. I'm like, what? That all you said is you was offended. And I don't want you to be offended. Don't be offended. Come on, we got to prepare ourselves, church. If we are not resilient to deal with the obstacles and the turbulences that happen against us. Come on, God tells us in the scripture, he says the kingdom of God suffers violence. He said it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk. So why do we always expect it? Why don't we just know how to meet it, resiliency, and meet it with persistency in our life? That knowing the challenge was going to come. And I can tell you, some of the challenges, we start ourselves. We said the wrong thing. We did the wrong thing. We acted the wrong way. And yet you want everybody to forgive you. Oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm going to forgive you when you stop doing that. That was another message. Oh, we don't know how to deal with offenses. People hurt our feelings. People hurt. And then guess what? It throws us into another place. And then we don't serve the same way. And we don't greet everybody the same way. And we don't do everything the same way. Because I don't know how to deal with the distractions of this offense in my life. Well, what if Jesus didn't know how to deal with how Peter came to him? And he just gave into that. Or he got really animosity against Peter. Well, it would have changed the destiny of their relationship. Because he didn't know how to deal with that the right way. To not just bruise him a little gently, but then heal him a little bit too. Well, sometimes you just have to give the right word in season. Season with salt. Well, before Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the Spirit, Satan spent 40 days. Hear this. 40 days. He spent 40 days coming at this man. But Jesus spent 40 days doing what? Fasting and so he just didn't give in to it and say, well, I'm going to do whatever. When you prepare yourself, there's some spiritual disciplines you have. There's some spiritual stamina you gain because of the things you do. And because I do these things, when the things come at me and they come at me, then guess what they do? They bounce off. That's another point. It's time. They bounce off you. That's what offenses do. You don't know where they're coming. You don't know how they're going to smash it on you. You don't know how it's going to happen. But how am I going to deal with it once it happened to me in my life? Come on, are we going to defend ourselves? We're going to give into it? But what happens in our life when they bounce your way? When they bounce in your row and you made the commitment, I ain't playing this game. I don't know what they doing at this church. I ain't playing this game. Get that ball off me. We got all kinds of different responses. Trust me, I'm watching them all. I'm watching them all. We got all kinds of different responses. Some people saying, don't do that to me. Well, he did it. I ain't in this. I ain't in this. And sometimes that's how we are in life. That's why Flo kept encouraging Naomi. She know Naomi. She got up and said, I'm in this game. We in this. We in this. We in this. I didn't know who she was. All it did was speak to how we respond. It speaks to our character. It speaks to our resiliency. Come on, not just our competitive nature, not just what we want to become. It's who we are. Come on, that's why when we've been called by God, we can't turn down our call. Amen. Amen. We can't just walk away and say, I ain't in this game. I ain't in this game. We might want to. We might want to see calm, cool, and collected till it come up your street or hit your row. And then you become who we thought you was. We know who you was until you hit that distraction. There we know. Come on, that's all God wanted to know. Come on, when Abraham took Isaac up, all he wanted to know was who Abraham was. And when Abraham was willing to obey the voice of God and do what God said, he says, hold up. Now I know. That's all the way it is with the Spirit of God in our life. Or he just wanted to know, are you going to stand up or are you going to sit down? He just want to know. That's why we have to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves for the difficulties, for the challenges that may come ahead of us, that we don't wilt because we made some mistakes in the past or some things didn't work out for us in the past. But guess what? We're better for it today in the future. Amen. We become more resilient. We become more able to handle the things. God said he never give us more than we can. He never does. I'm going to tell you, he looked out for us this weekend. I'm just going to tell you, I've been praising God all night. Because sometimes we take on more than we can. Y'all say, Pastor, you did. That's just my heart. If I can do it for you, I'm going to do it for you. That's just who I am. Come on, we can make adjustments, we can make changes, but if you need me, I'm there. And sometimes that's just the heart of God. Because that's when we need him, he is. Amen. He never leave us, nor. Well, I can't have nobody losing a loved one and we sitting around bargaining. We don't need to bargain. What you want to do? Amen. How you want to do it? When you want to do it? And what time you want to do it? We ain't no time for bargaining. We ain't no time for negotiation. Let's just get it done. Let's get it done. Come on, we don't want that. We don't want God doing that for us. Come on, I need a healing. I need God to do something in my life. I don't need him up in heaven talking about, well, was he all right? Let's bargain. Did he tithe? I don't know. Is he okay? Him bargaining over us, then why are we bargaining over other people? Let's do what we can do. How we can do it. Come on, we call people. I call Minister Teasley. I call John. I say, I need y'all to come and get some time. I ain't know it's going to be all day, but I need y'all to come. And they ain't say, well, I got to do something. Well, I got something to do. And I can tell you something. Most of them, Sister Jaquita, they all had something to do. They all had something to do. And we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know we were going to have over 250 people come in and out of here. We didn't know. Steve was going out of town, and Johnny was left with the whole bag set up, cleaned up. Everything up. Amen. But he did it. Did it. No matter the distractions. No matter what was going on, no matter what we had to deal with. Come on, God is faithful, amen? And because he is faithful, we must also show ourselves faithful. Come on, hang in there. Don't give up the battle. Don't give up the fight. Come on, if it takes fasting and prayer, fast and pray. Come on, if it takes you resisting the devil, resist the devil. Do what you got to do, amen? Come on. The issue here is we have to train ourselves up to battle against temptations and distraction. We have to train ourselves so that we're more resilient and less likely to be easily offended. Because a lot of our stuff just happens because we get easily offended. I don't like what you said. I don't like how you said it. And sometimes I don't even like you. But I got to train myself. to battle against those human things, temptations, and those human distractions. Come on, there are Christians who are truly oblivious to spiritual warfare. They walk around thinking everything's supposed to be great and hallelujah and bless you Jesus and amen. And it's unreality. Come on, we have to understand the moment we said yes to Jesus, the moment we said yes to his will and yes to his way, the battle was on. It's on for your soul. Come on, that's why God says you got to work out your soul salvation. Because guess what? The battle on. You just made it allegiance. Come on, Romans chapter 6 says, whom you commit yourself a servant, that's who you are a servant to. Whoever you have allegiance to, that's what you have allegiance to. And then guess what happens? The enmity happens. If you say you for the Lord, guess what you're going to have? Opposition. If you say you don't care, you with the enemy, and you, then guess what you're going to have? Buy-in. Come on. To everyone who believe that. You have enmity with people who don't believe, but you have all kind of buy-in for the people who believe. As long as you think like I think, we are. As long as you act like I act, we okay. Oh, but do something different. That's where the enemy comes in. That's where we have our battles. Come on, preparing yourself means being aware that distractions exist. That's all it is. See, when we prepare ourselves, I'm just aware that this could happen. Come on, I'm not walking around saying, oh, something bad going to happen, something. No, that's not spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare saying is I'm battling against principalities, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The things that are happening around me that I cannot see, but they're happening. They're happening. Whether we can confess it or not confess it, it's happening. It's a battle. So when I understand that, then I take the side of God's side. And that whoever shall come against me, they come against God. And the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. Come on, that's all it said, is that you are aware. Not acting all, coming up into a group talking about everybody going to be nice and everybody going to talk friendly and everything. And then somebody hits you sideways and then you like this. Because you wouldn't expect them to hit you sideways. To talk bad about you. Or to say something offensive to you. See, that's what happens when we do. Even at church. We're supposed to be having a civil meeting and somebody say something about you. They weren't supposed to say that, Reverend Jeremiah. They're supposed to be nice. Friendly. But what about when they not? How do I respond? How do I respond? I can tell you, some people walk around still offended. Won't forgive them. Say, I'm coming, but I ain't dealing with them. Change their life. Because of one thing, they didn't know how to prepare for distraction. Well, you got to be prepared. Some of y'all may not work in a public venue or work with public people. But as you work in the public long enough, you'll prepare yourself. You'll know what you're going to hear, how you're going to hear it, when they're going to say it. Come on, right, Jeff? They might tell you, I'm Abraham seed. And not pay you, amen? That's a Wednesday night, see? That's Wednesday night. We don't know what this meant. But now that it's happened, I'm not oblivious to it. If it ever happens or something like that happens again, guess what? It ain't going to mess me up. It ain't going to have me preaching about it 23 years later. That's when stuff affects you, when you can't even stop talking about it. I don't even want to talk about it, but it keep coming up into my memory. You remember when they did that? You remember that? We got to be careful. We got to be careful and be prepared and be aware that distractions happen and they exist in our life. Come on, some people don't mean you no harm. They don't even mean you no adversity in your life.
They just said the wrong thing. And it's hard sometimes for people to let it go. Let it go. Come on, if not, you will be in bondage to that thought. You will be in bondage to those feelings that you have about these people, about what they said to you. And God don't want you to live like that. Because then you're not free to do what he called you to. It's a weight. Everything I do is a weight. So how are we preparing ourselves? How are we preparing ourselves to overcome distractions? Well, number one, you got to know your mission. When you know what you're about and you know whose you are, you don't settle for the okey-doke. On Jesus, when they were trying to get him to go eat in John chapter 4, say, come on, let's eat. I'm hungry. You hungry? I'm hungry. And Jesus made a statement that startled all of them. They left him. Don't get me wrong. But he says, my meat is to do the will of the Father. He squashed all the humanity in them. They said, we hungry. Let's go eat. Come on. Longhorn. Subliminal. Subliminal. It's Dina's birthday too. Happy birthday, Dina. She's trying to hide in the cut. Once you get over 40, you don't want to acknowledge it. Okay. Oh, Flo said she thought you was 25. I got the oil up here. Amen. God bless you on your birthday. When Jesus made a determination, he said, so that they understand and we understand together, you can be hungry all you want, but my meat, my desire is to do the will of the Father. He drew the line. He made a distinguish in their spirits, even then, that you on one agenda and you on one tip, but I'm on a whole nother. That's why some people can't coexist and can't walk together, because they don't agree. Some people saying humanity all the way. And other people saying the will of God. And everybody else trying to make a decision. Which one we're going to do? We're going to do the will of man, or we're going to do the will of God? Well, that's why it's important in ministry that we do ministry as a team. So that not one person who's strong-willed in something they want to do does something they want to do, and it had nothing to do with God. We got to be on one accord so we can do the will of God. Come on, that's why Acts teaches us, when they wanted to bring in the next apostle, they did what? They cast lots. No one person wanted to make that decision. Who's going to replace Judas? It was a consensus, because they wanted to get the heart and the will of. Come on, dictatorship is good when you make it a split decision or a snap decision. But when there's time for people to get, when you can get a consensus or the wisdom and the multitude of counsel, get it. Get it so that you can hear God. You might even have to make the decision. But I want to hear God. Amen. I mean, I don't want to just hear the pros and the cons, your do's and your don'ts, and your likes and your dislikes. I want to hear the God, the heart of God in this. Because if we make a mistake, let it be a godly mistake, not a human mistake. Not a human mistake. It's easy to make them. People make them every day. Let's get a consensus. What is the heart of God saying? Do we go or do we not go? Well, David was about to kill David. All his men, they had took the women and the children, and David was all messed up. And David could have made a snap decision and said, well, let's get him. Let's go kill him. But that's not what he did. He showed us the wisdom of God. He called for the ephod. He said, I got to get the heart of God on this. Because God may say, let him go. That's a hard thing. That's not what God said. God said, go get them. You're going to
oh, you're going to destroy them, and you're going to not lose anything. But it didn't happen because he made a snap decision. It only happened because he made a prepared decision. He called for the ephod. He prayed about it. He prayed about it. Come on, lastly, let me hold y'all and get you out of here. See, to accomplish God's mission was Jesus' priority. And he didn't let anything or anybody distract him from it. And I can tell you today, to accomplish the mission that God has called us to and make Jesus a priority in our life, we cannot live by the distractions that happen in our life. Come on, it is God's mission here on earth to give us a priority. It is not about the things we think it is that are the things of men. God has a priority for our life. We got to find that, even in the midst of distractions. Even in the midst of people saying, oh, we're not going to let it happen. Well, it's not going to happen. That is not our call. We would want it to be because that's how we are. We're controlling like that. But the reality is, it is not our call. That's why submission is such a big part of it. When we are able to submit to God and his authority, his will, resist the devil, then the enemy will what? He will flee. I'm not saying that we never won't have to deal with the distraction, but this is how we're going to deal with it. We're going to resist it, and we're going to submit to God's will, not the enemy's will for our life. Well, Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and that's where we've come. No matter where we've come or how we've come or how you've gotten here or where God called you from or what rock he found you on, it don't even matter. You here now. You are here. And now let God use you for his glory. Come on, overcome the distractions and the difficulties that want to get your focus so that you cannot do the things that you should. That's all you want to do is get your focus so that you're doing just the things you want to, not what he called you to. We cannot do that. Life is not like that. We tell our kids all the time, you got to be able to do some things that you don't like to do now so that you can do some of the things you want to do later. Come on, some people think, I want to do what I want to do right now. I'm going to get what I want to get right now. Come on, I'm going to spend the money. I'm going to do it. And then you pay for it later. You pay for it later. And all God's trying to do is help us to be more resilient so we're not so distracted. So what, they got a new car. You don't need one. So what, they got a new boyfriend. You definitely don't need them. Definitely don't need him. We don't always need everything that everybody else can. Life is different for everybody. Come on, what a steak dinner might do for you, come on, a Chick-fil-A meal in a bag might do for me. Amen. We got to distinguish the difference so that we're not trying to be something that we are not. Amen. Or that we've been called to be. Come on, those are things that are just what? Distractions. Come on, you're spending all that money, you're doing all those things, you're dealing with these different people, and for what? For somebody else. Because they said y'all look cute. Oh, for real? You didn't ask me? You didn't ask me? No, we can't live like that. We can't live like that because when we live like that, then we are dominated by the things of men and not on the things of God. Well, we have to draw the line and understand that God's called us to a mission. And what he's put on our mission is what we need. Well, not everything we want. But it's definitely what we need. Come on, the people you have in your life is more than enough if you would use them as a resource. If you get wisdom in the multitude of your counsel, and you wouldn't just such a long ranger, because a long ranger even had Tonto. So you don't even want to be him. Come on, we got to make a distinction here so that God can get the glory in our lives. Come on, it is a dash. We were at the funeral yesterday. It was hard because I never did a memorial for or funeral for somebody that young. And they were in their 40s, but they're still young. and to know the life and how fragile it is, and to hear testimony after testimony. We just came from the cookout. We just saw him at the house. We just was with him. I just talked to him last night. And then the next year, he's not here with us. Come on, it's just God teaching us how fragile life can be. That it is but a vapor. That we are here, and then we are gone. We are gone. So we have to live our life without the distractions that hold us back, that keep us from God's best, because that's all we really want. Because I just want to hear God say, well done. Well done. Ain't going to matter how many suits I got. Don't matter how clean your shoes are. None of that's going to matter. But what is going to matter is that I did with it the will of the Father, and was not thankful or mindful of the things of men, but of the things of God. That's all I want to communicate. It's just a distraction. Come on, what is distracting you from being a kingdom person? What is it? If it's a person, is it some things I desire? Is it some hardship I've been holding? We got to make that decision. The distractions or the defenses of things in our life has already happened. Now what are we going to do about it? Come on, to experience victory over distractions of this world and the things in our life, remember to prepare ourselves. Be ready for it. Being aware that anything has a potential to pull us away from God. Come on, somebody say anything. The rich young ruler, I'm going to close with this, had one decision to make, to follow Jesus or to sell all he had. And what was puzzling about it, the decision he made was he wasn't going to sell everything he had because it meant that much to him. And all it was a what? Distraction. And it kept him from following the Lord the way God wanted him to. And I can tell you some things. And Jesus told him, he said, there's one thing you lack. Well, sometimes we crossing all the T's, we dotting all the I's, we doing everything right and still misspelling the word. Because what God is after is to make sure that I'm able to let this go to follow him or to do his will. Come on, that's always the dilemma. Am I going to let all this stuff? And he must have had a lot of stuff. Gold, I could see the Rolex is shining. The bling, good God Almighty. I try not even wear none, amen? So I don't get tempted, amen. He had a dilemma. Am I going to get rid of all this stuff and follow you? Am I going to make that kind of sacrifice? And many times that's what it is. We are making a sacrifice to follow the Lord. We're getting rid of the distractions. We're putting those things that are behind us, that need to be behind us, so that we can press forward in the things of God. So as we close today, I just want us to look at our hearts today. Come on, maybe that's you today, and you're dealing with distractions. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you got a financial pressure. Come on, maybe you're dealing with a health condition. Maybe you got a flat tire. I don't know what it is. It could be as small as that. Come on, maybe your hair ain't laying the way it is supposed to. Or your ends are split. I don't know. But I know you know. I know you know what distracts you, what gets your attention, what takes your focus. Maybe it's your children. Come on, many times we idolize our children. They become idols even in their own right. And we don't do the things that we should because we're doing the things that they want. I don't know. Some things that are good in our life become distractions. They become things that deter us or get us away from the will of God and for our lives. I don't know what you face. Come on, some of you are facing new relationships. Some of y'all are dealing with old relationships. Some of y'all are dealing with jobs and situations on your jobs and people offending you. And it's so many things that go on. But the key determination is, how are you dealing with it? Are you casting your cares on the Lord? Are you submitting yourself to God? Or is this distraction taking you another direction and making you roll harder? Come on, sometimes I'm convinced, sometimes people will take a stand, even though they know it's not God's stand, just to be proven right or to make sure they're right. Let me tell you, there's no right or wrong. There's only heaven and hell. There's only good in God. Well, we need to get out of that. Is that right or wrong? Yeah. No, no. The reality is, we're either on the lower side or we're not on any side at all. Come on, we just got to make a decision. Got to make a decision that I'm not going to allow the distractions to keep me from God's best. I'm going to run this race and finish my course. I'm going to do the will of the Father while it is day. The night's not going to catch me not doing what God has called me to do. So right now, right where you are, maybe in your heart, you'll find something or someone or some issue that has become a distraction to you. I just want to pray with you today. If you're dealing with that distraction in your life, and sometimes it's hard, and you find yourself rowing harder, and you're saying, that's not going to get me, that's not the way it's going to be, it's not going down like that. And really all you're doing is fighting against God. Not making any more money, not getting any further ahead, not having any better peace. None of this is working out. The only way it's going to work is when we make a decision to submit to God. Well, what does that mean? Something's got to be thrown overboard. Well, maybe that's an offense that you're carrying. Throw it overboard. Well, maybe it's some people you've been trying to rescue and rescue and rescue, and they don't have their mind on no things about God than a little bit. And here you are spending all your time and spending all your effort and spending all your resources trying to rescue them, and they don't want to be rescued. Well, I know within us there's a little bit of Jesus that want to say, I'm the Savior, but no, we're not the Savior. No, we're not the Savior. Only God is. We have to submit to His will. No matter how difficult it may be, no matter how harsh it may seem, Lord, I must submit to your will. Lord, I must submit to your way. There is no other way, there is no other will that I want to conform to but yours.